chapter 4, and we're going to, thank you Rebecca for singing, Mark chapter 4, want to just, I'm going to kind of go back on Mark 3, and we'll remember last week we dealt with the heart. We were in the synagogue there. Jesus sees a withered hand there, a man with a withered hand, and he is moved by that man. Of course, I believe, and I said last week, I believe this man was planted there by the Pharisees. And we see the Pharisees watching this man as he's healed. Jesus looks at the Pharisees. He gets angered. And then he's kind of moved with compassion. He heals the man with the withered hand. And of course, he rebukes the Pharisees. Then we go on down in Mark chapter 3, and you see, I think in verse number 22, and I want you to notice in Mark 3:22, he goes up into a mountain to pray, and then he calls his 12 disciples. And then in verse 22, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub. So here's what they could not figure out. They saw Jesus healing, and so instead of believing that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, they accused him of being the devil. And I mean, they said, hey, this man is casting out devils and healing the sick. And they said, this man must not be God. He must be the devil. They said, Beelzebub. Now look at verse number 23. And he called to them and said unto him, and he called them and unto him and said unto them in a parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? So Jesus looks at these scribes and these Pharisees and he says, if you're calling me Beelzebub, if you're calling me Satan, how is it that Satan could cast out Satan? You know, he's like, this doesn't make a lick of sense. You ever met somebody that thought they knew a lot about the Bible? And they knew just enough to be dangerous, but thought they were a theologian? And they started, and you're like, man, that didn't even make sense. Why'd you do that? So, look at verse 24. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but that hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And we know Jesus, of course, the devil he's referring to as the strong man, but we know Jesus is greater than him, right? And no house divided could stand. Jesus was making a point. Hey, no fortress, no kingdom can stand unless it's together, unified. Nothing can stand unless it's unified. Something divided cannot be effective, right? Well, then it goes on down to verse number 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemes wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Now, I believe the only sin today that will send a man to hell is the sin of rejecting God's Son, Jesus. But you understand, back in this day, of course, the Bible was still, this has been inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that Pentecost had not yet come, but the Holy Spirit of God was going to be sent once Jesus dies, and another Comforter was coming, and they could blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of God. And that was a sin that could not be forgiven. Look at verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? Now hold on. I believe the mom, Mary, and the brothers of Christ came, and they would be the half-brothers, but they came, and they were looking for Jesus. Jesus is here. He's been teaching. He's been healing. He's been doing all these things. And Mary comes. She's concerned. And the brothers are concerned. They're like, man, we haven't seen Jesus in a while, and he's over here doing all this stuff, and his life's in danger. The Jews hate him. We've heard how they're wanting to kill him, and how they were talking to the Herodians, and they're wanting to do something to him. So they come because of concern. But notice Jesus' response. He looked around about them in verse 34, which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Notice what he said. He said in verse 33, and he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brethren? Now, you understand that Mary and Jesus' brothers were standing right in the vicinity there. And Jesus says, who's my mother and who's my brothers? Don't you think that probably upset Jesus' mother? Well, you know right well who's your mama. Now, if I said that to her, who's my mom? It would be on. I mean, she'd be driving from North Carolina to give me a good spanking. Because she's like, you know good and well who your mama is. You know what Jesus was doing? He was making a point. He was saying, you know what? Those that do the will of the Father, that's who my brothers and sisters are. That's why I came. You can read that in John chapter 6, verse 36 and 37, 38. He said, man, those that do the will of the Father. Hey, it's God's will that you come to Christ today. And I'm telling you, that's what he was trying to say. Those of you that need Christ and need to believe and need to know that I'm the Son of God, I am who I say that I am, that's who my brother and my sister is in Christ. Now, look at what he does in chapter 4 and verse number 1. And he began to teach by the seaside, there the Sea of Galilee. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the Sea of the Land. Can you get that picture? The multitude was so great that Jesus could no longer stand on the side of the seashore. He had to get in a ship and push away from the seashore and preach to them out of a ship. I've actually seen this spot where it would have been on the sea, and the people there would have been all over the hillsides, and Jesus would have preached to them, no PA system. His voice would have amplified. It was just a natural voice. He was the Son of God, but we know that he just used those, what we would call natural amphitheaters, and he would have projected his voice in such a way, probably did not have to speak much over a monotone voice, but he's preached to them, and the multitude hung on to every word. He was so popular. This is a high time in our Savior's ministry. There were some low times, but this was a high time. His popularity was spread abroad. He was so popular in Capernaum. He was so popular in the Sea of Galilee area, Tiberias and different areas, Magdala and the Golan Heights and that area of the country. That's where Jesus was. And by the way, the Romans, they were in fear that Jesus, this man from Nazareth, was trying to rise up an army against the Roman Empire. They felt threatened that this new king was coming to get these followers so he could get an army together to go against the Romans. And the Romans hated Jesus. And the Jews, they hated Jesus, the Jewish religious people, because he was actually declaring himself the Son of God. You understand that only people that was seeking the Lord and looking for the Lord was those that was in need. Now notice this in verse number 2. And he taught them many things in parables, by parables, and said unto them in this doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, this is where parables are introduced to us here in Mark chapter 4. A parable has been said to be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He was using or painting a picture, if you will. The word parable actually means to cast alongside of. So he was using a image, if you will, or a painting, or a story to show them some great truth and apply it to their life. There were 60-some parables in the Gospels. Here's one of them, and we see that today. And he knows. Notice what he says. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground. And it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. And brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then ye shall know all the parables? The sower that soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, and the word was sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when the affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitful of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 36, some 60, and some 100. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to preach. And I thank You, Lord, that the word of God will go forth on good ground. Lord, we know that You use this parable for a reason. And God, You gave us four different types of soil. And God, I know in this room today, there's probably four different types of soil that's sitting in front of me today. And Lord, as I'm the sower, throw out the seed, which is the grace of God and the gospel of God. I pray that the seed will fall on good ground. And Lord, I pray You'll help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus often used parables, and in fact, there are nearly 60 of them, like I mentioned, in the Gospels. And He tells us of a sower. The sower here is one who sows the Word of God. You're looking at a sower today. I'm called to shepherd and feed the flock and sow the Word of God, if you will, from the pulpit today. I'm opening up the Bible. I'm not preaching to you some preference. I'm not preaching to you an opinion. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. And I'm throwing out the seed to the people. And so we see the sower is maybe one who sows the Word of God. It could be a missionary. It could be a teacher. Those of you that were teaching today in a Sunday school class, you are a sower. And that's a blessing. A missionary is a sower. A gospel song that we sung as a congregation, or Miss Rebecca sang that song about Jesus. And you know, that's a good... songs can do that. It can sow a seed. A gospel track. Man, a gospel track has the power of God. It has the Word of God on it, and you don't know what a gospel tract will do. And I challenge you, church. Listen, anybody can hand out a gospel tract. You say, well, I just don't like talking to... You don't have to talk to them. Just go up to them and say, I want to give you something. They may look at you a little odd, but you gave them something. For every 100 people that you give a tract to, I'm serious, you might have one or two that'll say, I don't need it. The devil will tell you a bunch of people will reject it, but I'm telling you, a lot of people will reach out and take it. I don't know what they do with it. Some people read it. Some people will maybe read it and look at it and say, oh, it's nice. And wow, someone may look at it and believe what's on it. We don't know. But I know this, it's our job to sow. So the sow is the Word of God. Then we see the seed. The seed is the gospel of grace. It's the good news that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He did good on this earth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He was everything He did about was good. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. 3 days later, up from the grave He arose. And 40 days He showed Himself alive. He ascended to heaven. Now He's on the right hand of the Father. So that's the gospel of grace. And that's the seed. Nothing wrong with the sower. Nothing wrong with the seed. But then we go to the soil. Here's where we go. The soil in this parable represents the heart. Now, when I prayed a while ago, you had time to leave. But now that you're in here, you're stuck. Because we dealt with the heart last Sunday. We dealt with the heart Wednesday night. And we're going to deal with it again today. Some people don't like dealing with the heart. They like surface stuff. How can I fix what's on the surface? You can't fix what's on the surface until you deal with the heart. And the soil is where we're at. It represents the heart of the mind of the person who hears the gospel, either receives it or rejects it. Here we have four different souls that Jesus is teaching these disciples and teaching the people, the multitude, and He's teaching them in parables. And He's telling them, and they all knew about a sower. Everybody in that area of Palestine, the rocky, sandy, hilly Judean hills, they knew about the rocky, sandy thorns and the thistles and the weeds and the rocks and the sand. And they could see someone plowing up some fertile ground and throwing out the seed. And they could envision that in the mind. And Jesus knew that. So Jesus said, hey, there's a man that's sowing seed. Some of the seeds fell on the wayside. And fowl came. And even says that Satan comes and snatches it up. And he uses that. And I want to give you that. Look at verse number 4. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. The wayside there was the boundaries that would border them fields and the areas that they would raise crops. They called them the wayside. And that's where animals and the farmers and everybody would travel along the edges. Well, if you travel and walk a path long enough, it becomes a bare spot. It becomes a trodden down spot, a spot that is about as hard as concrete. Grass won't grow there. Nothing will grow there because there's constant traffic. And that's what Jesus was saying. You have thrown the seed and it has fallen by the wayside. And he said, this is how I apply it to some of your hearts. Your hearts is as hard as the wayside. So he says, and I've entitled this the closed mind. This first point is the closed mind, because when the Word of God goes forth, the seed is thrown out. Some of it falls by the wayside. There's some people in here today that you have a wayside type heart. You have a closed mind. It refers to that narrow pathway, that footpath that ran beside through the fields. And these roads of the day, soil was on them, and they become very hard as concrete. And the feet of travelers would often stomp on this ground, and it would make it very hard. And when the seed fell upon that footpath, it could not penetrate the soil and remain there until, notice what happens in verse number 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the seed's thrown out there, and it just lands on top of the surface because the heart is so hard. And guess who comes and gets the seed? Satan does. Have you ever been sitting in a service, and you've been sitting there and the preacher's been preaching, and all of a sudden a thought comes in your mind? And you're thinking about what's in the crock pot at home. You're thinking about what happened in the ball game last night. You're thinking about your job situation or one of your children. You're thinking about your marriage. You're thinking about things. And when you leave, and there'll be some of you do this today, when you leave the service, if someone were to stop you in the parking lot, you couldn't tell them what was preached. Who snatched that out of your heart and out of your mind? The devil did. There are people that will come and they'll be here in body. They'll sit there and they fill up a seat. And I praise the Lord for you today. I thank God that you're here. But your heart is like this wayside dirt. It's as hard as a rock. And the seed just lays there, and guess who comes and snatches it? The devil does. Hey, a closed mind. You're just not receptive. Everything that is preached to you bounces off. Everything that is preached to you is just like it lays there until a bird comes along, or until Satan comes along, or until somebody steps on it, or until maybe the water washes it away. And you just let it sit there, and the Word of God is not penetrating one thing because your heart is so hard. Now, I believe this individual here Jesus is talking about, I believe this is a lost man. I believe this man is bearing no fruit. How can you bear fruit when your seed sits on top of the soil? Christians bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit in here today, according to the Bible, we can look at it and say, you know, I'm not a fruit inspector, but I can tell you this. Ye shall know them by their fruits. If you're not bearing fruit today, friend, I wonder about your salvation. I believe in backsliding Christians, but how long are you going to lay there and let your heart become hard? How long are you just going to let everything just keep bouncing off of you? And here's what this person will do. Well, I wish so-and-so was here because they sure need this. Don't worry about their ground. Worry about yours. Quit worrying about everybody else's field and worrying about everybody else's dirt and everybody else's sod, and everybody else's problem, and look in the mirror. Jesus is saying, hey, there's four kinds here, and every one of us fits in one of these categories. This is the hard heart. This is the closed mind. This is one that immediate. Notice that in verse number 15. Notice that word immediately. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately. Did you notice how many times in Mark 3 when Jesus healed a man? Immediately, He was healed. Do you realize that Satan, when the word is preached and the seed is sown, immediately he comes. He don't even give it time. He don't even want it to sit there. That shows you how powerful the word of God is. The word of God is powerful, and Satan knows it. So if it even lays there, there's a chance it might fall in a crack of your heart and start sprouting forth. And so guess what Satan does? He gets that little broom of his, that little dustpan, and he goes along, he starts raking it in it and dumps it in the trash can. And he said, I don't want no seed on that heart because the word of God's powerful. So we see it's a closed heart. Do you have a closed heart this morning? Do you have a closed heart? Hard? Hard as an anvil? Hard as a back wall? Hard as the concrete? We preached about that last week. We talked a little bit about it Wednesday night. And then here we are again today dealing with our... You know what? Jesus, every time He preached, He didn't go for your head. He didn't go for your feet. He went to your heart. He dealt with the heart, because if He can get the heart fixed, He can get you fixed. And the reason why you're a miserable wretch this morning, the reason why you can't smile, the reason why you have no joy, the reason why you have no peace is because your heart have a problem. We have a closed heart. The second thing is this. Look at verse 5 and 6. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. We not only see a closed mind, but we see a confused mind. Why is it confused? Here we have stony ground, like in the Palestine area. It's very rocky, very stony. But they did have some earth. Did you notice that in that little phrase right there? And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. It had some earth, but not much earth. It had just enough, but the roots couldn't go down deep because it was nothing but stony and gravelly and sandy. And it wasn't very, there was no depth to it. It was a confusing thing because... Here's what I believe this confused mind says. I believe this person that hears the gospel, they receive the seed. And here's what they say. This is just what I need. This is just what I need. I love this church. I love that preaching. I love that singing. This is just what I've been looking for. I might as well just give Jesus a try. I don't like that statement. I don't like it when people say, I'll just give Jesus a try, because that means you're going to be trying something else if Jesus don't work. That reminds me of this confused person. Oh, I've tried everything in the world, and that may be you today, and bless your heart, that's wonderful. If you've tried the things of the world and found out it's nothing but a dead-end road, and you found out that it's nothing but a barrier, and that's great. And I don't have a problem with someone saying, try Jesus, but can I tell you, don't just try Him. Won't you get your roots down in the ground? Because it's the best thing that will ever happen to you. And these people, they'll try Jesus for a while, but then the first thing that comes along, the first thing. So this person perhaps maybe came to an altar and prayed because a friend did. Maybe they came to use Jesus as a spare tire. Maybe they were going through a tough time. And they said, you know what? It's about time that I get my life straightened out and I find Jesus. And they came and they come down to an altar. Maybe they're going through a terrible time and they come down here and they pray this big old prayer. But 2 weeks later, you can't find them. Confused. Who's the author of confusion? Satan is. Oh, there was a little earth there. They received the word. Notice what it says in verse 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So, hey, that's good, right? Well, they immediately receive the word. So you're sitting there right now with looking at the preacher and you're like, I like this. I'm receiving this with gladness. I would much rather you receive it with gladness than receive it like... Receive it with gladness. But notice verse 17. And have no root in them. Oh boy. They have no root in themselves. You're not grounded. So you receive it. Preacher, great message today. We'll see you at Christmas. All right. Hey. See you at Christmas. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution rise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Oh no. Preacher, I tell you what. I came down that altar and I got my heart right with God, or I got saved, and all of a sudden things started going crazy. Right here it is. Isn't it crazy? that all of a sudden the Word starts growing in your life and persecution comes? That's no coincidence. It's in the Word of God. That's why you can look at the Word and you can say, you can look at the world and you can say, why is it that they seem like everything's going so good for them and everything's so dandy and so fine and everything seems to be... Because the Word of God's not in their life. Well, then I don't want the Word in my life. Well, then you're stony ground. You're going to blow away like the rest of them. Anything that is growing, anything that is thriving, any root system that's going to... There's going to be some affliction. By the way, how do we know Christ better? We know Him through suffering. That I may know Him. Why? Because He suffered. The Christian life is not a life of ease. The Christian life, when the Word of God's growing and rooted, it's often there'll be some peaceful time, but can I tell you, there'll be some persecution. How grounded are you? Are you confused? Are you hearing the Word go forth today? Are you hearing the seed go forth today? And you're sitting there thinking, oh, there's a little, I'm receiving this okay. And you come down and you pray a little prayer and you go back, but you're unchanged. Listen, here's another problem with this. There's no fruit. I still believe we're dealing with a lost person. We got a cold heart or a closed mind. We've got a confused mind in verses 5 and 6. But notice this. We've got a cluttered mind in verse 7. See, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded what? No fruit. Say it again. It yielded what? No fruit. Third time in a row. Here we have a cluttered mind. Because now the Word of God has been thrown out there, and the seed has been presented, and it falls upon the earth, but underneath that earth is a root system of thorns and weeds and briars. And what do? They choke out that's healthy. So the seed's down there, and anything that would grow, the briars and the weeds and the thorns, they'll just choke that out. And it produces what? No fruit. My grandfather raised, he's 87 years old. He'll be 88 this June. And he has four gardens. Big gardens. He has for many, many years. He's got one on the side of his house, one on the other side, and two in the back. Huge. I said, Grandfather, why do you have so many gardens? He said, because I like giving my fruit and vegetables away. He loves it. He gets bags, and he's up in West Virginia, and he's got beautiful, black, rich soil. And the produce that man pulls out of those four gardens is amazing. 87 years old. I remember as a boy going to his house, and I'd stay the whole summer with my grandpa. Man, he's such a great man. God saved him. He was an old coal miner. God saved that man. He was a drunk. And God saved him probably 25 years ago. Delivered him from all that. But let me tell you, he used to say, Steve, I want you to, I hated this part. But he said, I want you to go in my gardens. I want you to do something. I want you to pull the weeds out. Four gardens. I'd be 10, 11 years old, 12 years old. And I'd go and pull in hot days in the summertime. Man, there'd be he would be pulling the vegetables and all that out. I'd be pulling the weeds and the whatever was growing up in the garden. Man, I was scared. I'd have gloves on because there were snakes and stuff. And I'd be pulling garden stuff up. And man, occasionally I pulled the wrong thing up. And that old man and my grandpa, the old nature, would rise up every now and then. I heard some language that he said, don't repeat that. He didn't want me pulling up his plants. But he said, son, if you'll do this, I'll take you down to Dairy Queen. We had a Dairy Queen downtown, little old, the old-fashioned Dairy Queen. He said, we'll go down there and get us a cone. And I always loved those peanut buster parfaits. I just felt another wind blow in here. And it wasn't the air conditioning. The peanut buster parfait, greatest thing ever. And by the way, y'all pray for me. I've not had ice cream since February 1st. And that ought to be against the law. Hey, I went in one day. We had ice cream. January 29th, the 30th. I go in the next day. All the ice cream's out of the freezer. And the stashes that I had in different places, Hershey bars, every now and then, my wife can testify, I would go and, you know, they put them little bars in there for a reason. You could break off a piece at a time. It's not going to hurt you. Two bars a day is not bad. Two whole bars. Hershey chocolate is the best in the world. And I start going to my stashes and somebody had already been there. And it's gone. In the trash. I'm just telling you this, it really doesn't apply other than pray for me. It really doesn't apply a whole lot to the message other than my grandfather taking me to Dairy Queen and saying, I'll reward you for pulling the weeds out of the garden. Listen, the most beautiful garden you've ever seen, and every week or so he would be ridden that garden of weeds because weeds would grow on that fertile ground. And what that would do is if you let those weeds grow where the garden and the produce is, it would choke out them good plants and they would stop producing fruit and vegetables. The same thing goes for the life of a person that's sitting in here today that hears the Word of God go forth and the seed is thrown out and it goes and some falls on the wayside dirt or that closed mind and some finds on a cluttered mind or a confused mind. And then this cluttered mind is one that these thorns and this. You know what some of us need to do? We need to go inside the heart and pull out that which is cluttered, thorns, weeds, thistles, and get it out so the Word of God can grow. Some of you just have so much clutter, so much things. Listen, this kind of person begins well, but soon fades away, having their profession choked out by sin and the world. Were they ever saved? I don't believe so. How do we know? There is no fruit of salvation. The Bible says it. I believe this can apply to the lost. This can also apply to the saved. How long has it been since the Word of God has grown in your life? All the distractions, all the noise, all the clutter. There was a lady that she came to our church about 6 or 8 months ago. I met her out in the parking lot. She got out of the car and I shook her hand. I said, is this your first time here? She said, first time. And I said, well, man, I'm so glad you're here. And she mentioned another person that comes to her church. They invited me. She said, I live in another state. She said, we've had a bad hurricane come through and it destroyed a lot of area. And so I got out of there. She said, I've stayed up here. Well, I preached that morning and she raised her hand. And she said, I'm not sure I'm saved. Man, I thought, surely she'll come forward. Man, she's heard the Word of God preached. She raised her hand. She was in her probably 60s or 70s. I think she was up in her 70s. And she looked at me in the eyes during the invitation and would not come. Would not come to Christ. Man, it broke my heart. Afterwards, I'm sitting out there in the foyer shaking hands. And I walked by and shook her hand. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I saw you raise your hand today. And I'd love to talk to you about the Lord. Would you come to Him today? And she said, you know what, I'm just not ready. She left, and she was only visiting for that weekend, for that time, and she was going to go back. So I stopped by and talked to that man that's in our church. And I talked to him one day, and he was out here. He'd been sick, and so I stopped by, and I said, hey, how you doing? I just stopped by to check on you. And he said, preacher, just been going through a rough time. I said, what's going on? He said, well, you know, I've been real sick and just kind of lonely and stuff. He said, I've had some death in my family. I said, well, what's it? He said, well, my cousin that was just with us a few months ago, he said, she passed away. He didn't know it, but I knew it. She raised her hand. She admitted that, hey, the seed, I realize what you're doing. I realize the Word of God, but there's too much going on. And she walked away. Church, listen, it happens all the time. There's people that will sit in here week in and week out. They've got the clutter of the world. They've got clutter of circumstances. They've got clutter of all things. And it's choking out the life. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no Word. How's your soul? Which category do you fit in so far? Is it closed? There's some folks in here that's hard. Is it confusing? Oh, there's a little dirt, preacher. I'm receiving it. I mean, I'm getting it real good, preacher. I'm liking what I... But no change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. No change. old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Last I checked, whenever you become a new creature in Christ, there's a change. Old things have passed away. Hey, are you cluttered? Do we need to go through the garden of your life and pull out thorns and thistles? I mean, what are you thinking about right now? Hey, fourthly, let's look at this. Look at verse 8. Mark chapter 4, verse 8. And other fell on good ground and didn't yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Now look at verse 20. Here's what Jesus explains about that verse. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Here it is. Here's what a Christian is. Here's what someone that is saved is. Notice, some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. Jesus said, this is a cultivated soul. This is a cultivated heart, a cultivated mind. This is someone that the ground has been tilled and it's ready for the seed. So when the seed is planted, it's watered by the Holy Spirit of God and it brings forth fruit. Here's what Bible Baptist Church ought to be. Bible Baptist Church ought to be fruit-bearing Christians. You ought to have a hunger for the things of God, a hunger to see fruit, a hunger to bear fruit, a hunger to be a witness, a hunger to read your Bible, a hunger to pray. How about this? A hunger to be joyful. A hunger for the Word of God. A cultivated mind. This seed fell on good ground. This was ground that had been worked and prepared. It had been plowed and tilled. It was ready to receive the seed. Hey, let me ask you what your Sunday morning routine is. Let's just stop for a second. What'd you do before you came in here today? Did you ride to church fighting? I'm not trying to be funny. Some of you have a knockdown drag out before you come in here. And you expect the Word of God to grow? Some of you, maybe last night was involved in some stuff you know good and well a Christian shouldn't be involved in. But Sunday's coming and I get to go to church and everything's going to be okay. No, it's not. You've not cultivated the ground. You've not prepared your heart. You've not prepared your mind. You know what my routine is on Sunday morning? To wake up. And that's a good thing. Because we get up pretty early on Sundays. Get up and automatically, hey, start thinking about the Word of God that's going to be preached. Get my Bible, have a little devotions, then guess what we do? This is us. We turn on some good, godly music. You say, what does music do? It softens the heart. It prepares the heart. We'll start playing it around our house. We wake the kids up. We get up. We get ready. We get our hearts prepared. We get excited. And I'll tell you what something else will do for you. Coming to Sunday school will help. Some of you that only come, and listen, I understand. Some of you are new to the church. Or maybe you're not a morning person. And you're like, man, that 10 o'clock, oh, I just don't know if I can. You can. You can do what you want to do. And I'm telling you, Brother Linwood's teaching in here, in this adult class. Brother Ikenia and Miss Cerise is over in the singles and the college and career. And my wife's over here with the ladies, and Mike's over here with the couples, and Lee here in just a few weeks is going to start another adult class. And I mean, we got classes. We're running out of room. And all this does is when you go in there and the teacher opens up the Word and just starts praying with you and starts telling you what you need to hear. You know what it's doing? It's getting some things broken up. Let me just say this. We ought to come to church to worship on purpose. On purpose. I come to church cranked up. I come to church. I don't need to drink a Red Bull. I don't need to drink strong coffee. I don't need to go and run laps around the property. You know what? I just start dwelling on the Word of God. I have a hard time preaching on sleeping on Saturday night thinking about what's going on Sunday. Why? It stirs me. God is doing a work. And here's the deal. When the Word goes forth and when God's doing something, How's it fallen on your heart? How's it fallen on your heart? Well, it's been a while since really anything's happened. You saying it's been a while since you've had fruit? I wonder about that. I wonder about that. You know what Jesus said about a tree that doesn't bear fruit? Cut it down. Throw it in the fire. It's good. You know what he said? It's good for nothing. So are you a good for nothing this morning? I didn't say it. The Lord said it. Sobering, isn't it? Isn't the Word of God amazing? It can make you feel like a wretch because we are. We are. And guess what, church? If you're in here and you're singing praises and the butterflies of God's glory are just all over you and you're like, oh, this is wonderful. I love church. And it shouldn't be a drudgery. Let me tell you. If you have to come every Sunday, oh, we got to go to church. It's not. Something's wrong. No desire to ever read your Bible. No desire to pray. No desire to seek the Lord. No desire to witness. I'm just telling you, here is four types of soil that we see that our Lord actually preached about. And the only difference between these types of soil was fruit. That's it. On the hard soil, the seed never even penetrated the hard ground. It was carried away. On the other three soils, the seed penetrated but disappeared. And the only one which fell on good ground produced fruit. So the question to you is, what ground are you? See, if you say, well, what does fruit on good soil produce? It produces good works. According to the book of James, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, good works. You'll do good things that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto the pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hey, church, can I ask you this? Are you doing some good works? Is there any good in your life? I know that there's none good, no, not one. But I'm talking about, is there any good? Is there any fruit coming? Hey, what else will fruit? Holiness and righteousness? Not holiness so you can look at me and say how holy I am, but to bring glory to God. Holiness and righteousness? What is good fruit? Genuine spirituality? That you actually care for the needs of others? And don't want any attention? Genuine spirituality. That's a fruit. Hey, I'd like to meet that person's need, but I don't want any recognition. I want to witness to that man over there. I'm burdened for his soul, but I don't want no recognition. Genuine spirituality. That's a fruit. You know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it kind of talks about spirituality, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Hey, burden for souls. We had about, what, a dozen out yesterday? But there could be more. There could be more. I led a lady to the Lord yesterday, right here in Simpsonville. And guess what? They're everywhere. I don't do that just to say, hey, I got a person. No, it's because I've been commanded to. How about this? Praise and thanksgiving. When's the last time, church, look at me, the last time you stopped and thanked God for what He's done for you? That's how we can get our heart cultivated. That's how you start thanking God between your house and the church. You're driving down the road to church. Lord, I don't deserve what I'm about to go to. I don't deserve to have this family in my car. I don't deserve to be on my way to heaven. I don't deserve to be going to this church and worshiping. I don't deserve. Hey, you start thanking God and you stop forgetting about self and you start praising Him. Guess what? By the time Brother Stephen gets up here and gets us leading and singing, you're already cranked up. Yes, have you thanked Him today? A thankful spirit. That's good fruit. Or are you just a gripe? That's all you do is gripe. It's a little overcast today. Where'd the sun go? I don't know, weatherman. I just don't understand why we got to do this and do that. I don't understand. And I'm just griping all the time. I wish there was a little cloud just over you all the time, just raining. Everybody else is sunshine. You're just all the time looking at things. Just negative. You say, hey, what? That's not a fruit-bearing Christian.
Right.
Murmuring and complaining and gossiping and backbiting. Bitter. Man, that's not good. That's not producing fruit. How about sharing? Sharing our goods. I'm talking about material goods. Are you a hoarder? Are you a selfish person? I just want this for me. This is my. I want this. Hey, have you ever seen churches can become that way? People can come to a church and a visitor sit in their seat. They walk and they just stand right beside them and look at them. Hey, how are you doing? Good, you're in my seat. No, it's not your seat. It's God's seat. Go find another one. Hey, we become selfish. You're in my parking spot. I've parked there for 30 years. No, you haven't. The parking lot ain't been there 30 years. That's mine. This is mine. How about let's share it because it belongs to God. Share our faith. Share our... Listen, we should be fruit-bearing Christians. So church, can I ask you this? Jesus was preaching to this multitude out of a boat, and they're on the side of the... And He's preaching to them using a parable. And tells them, you either got a hard heart, you've got a confused, very shallow heart, you've got a cluttered, thorny heart, or you've got a cultivated heart. Now, if you're in here today lost, you need Jesus Christ. If you're in here today and you're distant and the seed of God's Word has not grown in your heart for a while and your trees are starting to look real shabby, you ain't producing much fruit, it's time to do some pruning. And it's time to start bringing forth much fruit.